Oh, praise the Lord. Amen. Praise our God. I'm glad to be here tonight. So thankful that we have a mighty God that we serve, that we love, that's talked to our hearts. Oh my, these are quite the moments, I must say. And wow, you know, I know Brother Tim's been disappointed. He wanted to come home yesterday. That was kind of the, you know, schedule they gave him outlining his stay when he, you know, he first came into the care center in Beaver Dam here. And that's been detained at this moment. It's been delayed. They said Friday, and now today they're saying Monday, next week Monday. So we will see, but do keep him in prayer. There's just some details that he still needs to overcome by the grace of God, and he will, I believe. Amen. Praise the Lord. And I want to say, too, it's been amazing. Like, you know, I had mentioned he was anticipating coming home yesterday. That would have been Tuesday. And they said, you know, they gave their reasons. Well, they just were not, they didn't have things in order even to dismiss him. Actually, but we had just a beautiful time, Brother Tim and myself, talking with his roommate, and I've asked for some prayer for him. And one thing that was also very encouraging yesterday is that this man, his name is Jeff, and he seemed really hard. You know, I heard him, you know, mumbling and complaining, and he wasn't too conversant for a long time, and so on, but the ice broke. And one wonderful thing that happened is that the doctor came in and looked, he's got a bad sore on his bottom, and it hadn't healed very well. At least that's what they told him a week ago, more than a week ago now. I think it must have been the other Tuesday when they came in, and you know, they mentioned, you know, that they'd have to maybe do some debriding or something else if it didn't heal. And anyway, amazing thing, you know, I'd asked for prayer for this Jeff, and lo and behold, when the doctor came in yesterday, they looked at it and said it looked good, that it was healing, and you know, much, much better. And you know, it's amazing. And I had told Jeff that we were praying for him. In fact, we began to have conversation about the Lord, and he's been changing, you know. All at once he's telling us his story, and it's a wonder he's alive, really. He was in a coma for 3 months, a couple of years, I believe, after he graduated from high school, and they didn't expect him to live, and then certainly once he came out of it, they never expected him to walk. And praise the Lord, he did learn to walk, and he did walk for 20 years, and then he's had some other afflictions, and currently he's bedridden again, and he can't walk at this point. He can't even move his feet. He's just had some other things. There was a growth in his brain that they removed, and certain other things that have caused him to again be sick and bedridden and so on. But it was just very encouraging for him to realize that this sore, and he'd been there already a month, I think, before Tim was admitted, and you know, it just hadn't healed, and that's why they had put him in there for one reason anyway. And you know, just the power of prayer, it was just so encouraging. And then we got to talk about the Lord. And today, before I left, I was over there before service tonight. And anyway, you know, as I was leaving, he said to me, well, he likes to hear me pray. And he said, you know, he apologized because he's got the television on most of the time, but I notice he's playing it way lower than he used to, and that's pretty neat. But I know he'd been listening to our conversations and more recently joining in, and then he told me tonight, he said, you know, I always like to hear you pray, and I like to just turn the television down lower so I can hear you. And you know, it's an amazing story. I don't know. You know, God's working in that man. And I'm so thankful for your prayers. I don't know the end of the story yet, but we're going to believe God because God knows how to do great and wonderful things. And I'm so thankful. We don't always understand what's going on in our lives or our loved ones. And oh my, it can be quite an obstacle at times, but oh yes, we're so thankful that we can trust our God. And Lord willing, we will be talking about trusting the Lord tonight and so on. But oh yes, first we're going to pray. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay, praise the Lord. Okay, I've got a prayer request here for Duty Garrett. And this individual would like prayer tonight, dealing with some personal issues, parenting and relationships, problems. Okay, yeah. That can be quite a thing. That is true. And there's some others of you that I'd like to mention as I pray here tonight. So let's go before the Lord and talk to him. Oh, praise the Lord. I know Tim was so discouraged when he found out he couldn't leave. I mean, it was one thing to be told he could leave Friday, which is, you know, just around the corner, but now it's Monday. And of course, you know, time does move pretty fast, but a little slower when you're not moving around like usual and more bedridden. But anyway, let's talk to the Lord here tonight. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for this time here together. And oh, Lord, we thank you that we have this great and wonderful privilege to bring our needs before thee, Lord. We can talk to thee, Lord. And oh, God, you care, Lord. You have answers for every solution. God, you don't think in a box, but oh God, you know, oh God, things that we could never even imagine in our own minds. Oh yes, how to answer and how to do it. And oh God, we thank you that we can come before you, Lord. Now I pray, oh Lord, that you would help this Duty Garrett, oh Lord. You know the situation there. You know the needs, Lord. And I just pray that, oh God, you would intervene, Lord Jesus. Oh God, that things would begin to change, Lord. Oh God, you know all the problems, all the hostilities, all the issues, Lord, all the relationships that perhaps have gone wrong. And oh Lord, I pray that you would mend the brokenness, Lord. And oh God, that you would intervene, Lord, in each and every problem. Oh God, we do bring this before you in the name of Jesus, by the power of the blood. Oh God, I just ask, oh Lord, that things would begin to change, Lord. And oh God, your hand would be seen in this matter, dear Lord. We thank you, Jesus. And God, I do continue to bring Tim before thee. Ask, oh Lord, that you would completely heal him. Oh God, that his urine would, oh God, be proper, Lord, and everything else, Lord, that is still an issue, Lord, that you would take charge, that you would heal him, give him the strength and the stamina, the energy that he needs. And oh God, we just continue to bring him before thee, Lord. And God, I also bring this roommate, Jeff. Oh God, I thank you for what you've done in his heart, Lord. And I pray, oh Lord, that, oh Lord, we could even talk in even a deeper way, Lord. And I pray, oh Lord, oh God, that you change this man, that you give him hope in his circumstances, Lord. Oh God, that you'd even do a miracle, Lord. Oh God, that those feet and those ankles that haven't moved, oh Lord, that, oh God, you could strengthen them. And oh God, give them the mobility that they need, Lord. Oh God, you are a wonderful God. We thank you, Lord. I pray that you touch Sharon, Lord. I pray that that cough would completely go away in the name of Jesus. I pray that you'd heal her, Lord. Oh God, that this would not continue to be an issue. But oh Lord, you take it away from her in the name of Jesus by the power of the blood. God, we pray that you give Penny the strength that she needs, Lord, the energy, the faith, Lord. Oh God, the trust in thee, Lord. Oh God, in the name of Jesus, I pray, oh God, that you would give her the strength. Oh Lord, the energy, oh God, against the fatigue, against the tiredness. Oh Lord, even tonight, Lord, oh God, that you would intervene. Oh God, and oh Lord, she would feel, oh God, that spirit of fear be removed and could go away and never come back. Oh Lord, in the name of Jesus, by the power of the blood, for we rebuke it in the name of Jesus, and ask, oh Lord, that, oh Lord, you would touch her afresh, to move in her and help her and encourage her, strengthen her in the name of Jesus, by the power of the blood. Oh God, for we take these petitions, oh Lord, we bring them before thee, Lord, in Jesus' precious name, Lord. God, you know every other need, Lord. I just don't know all the details, Lord, but oh God, I pray that, oh Lord, you'd strengthen your people, Lord. Give hope, Lord. Oh God, that you'd intervene, Lord. Oh God, that you would help Dawn DuVay's sister, Brenda, Lord. Oh God, I pray against the pain issues and oh God, all the things that have gone wrong there in her digestive tract, oh God, in her stomach. And oh Lord Jesus, I pray that you'd heal her in the name of Jesus by the power of the blood. Oh God, you know all these needs, Lord, and we do bring them before thee, Lord. Oh God, I pray for Jane too, Lord. I pray that these seizures would stop in the name of Jesus. Oh God, that you would move in her life. Oh God, that things would be made right. And oh God, that you give her hope. Oh Lord, in the name of Jesus. Oh God, I pray that they would have to do surgery on her brain, Lord. But oh God, that you would move. Oh Jesus, by the power of the blood. Oh God, you know all these other needs and petitions, Lord. Oh, that have not come to mind or I don't know of, Lord. But, oh, Jesus, we pray, oh, Lord, that you would move the mountains that need to go. In the name of Jesus, that you give us faith, that you give us hope, that you give us encouragement, that you give us strength, Lord. Oh, God, the healing that we need. For with your stripes we are healed. And we thank you that we can come to this wonderful throne of grace, oh, God, to obtain mercy. Oh, Lord, to obtain that grace, that we don't deserve. But, oh, God, you have so granted us. So, Lord, we thank you in Jesus' precious name by the power of the blood. Have your way, Lord. Use this message to encourage your people, to strengthen them. Give us a hope that is greater, oh, Lord, than our doubts and our fears. Oh, Lord, I pray that you would move, oh, Lord, in our hearts and in our lives. Oh, God, give encouragement to your people, Lord, in the name of Jesus, by the power of the blood, in Jesus' precious name. Use me, God. Give me the words, oh God, and oh God, the prompting, oh God, and all that you'd have me to say, Lord, the scriptures and all the experiences, oh Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. All right, we're going to go to some psalms here tonight, I believe, and this particular verse it has been in my heart for a while, and we're just going to here to Psalm 61, and just read as the Lord prompts and leads, and praise the Lord. We're going to call this message, When My Heart Is Overwhelmed. When my heart is overwhelmed. I know one thing, we're all human. And as we walk this world, there are situations, there are problems. We all fight battles. It isn't that one person fights battles and the rest of us don't, but no, we're all in the same boat together. Amen. And there are times when, we feel that need for strengthening, for encouragement, for hope beyond us. And there are times when I would say we feel overwhelmed. To be overwhelmed means to be affected deeply in our mind or emotions. It can mean to surge over and submerge and engulf, where people might even feel like they're drowning in that sense. And, it can seem like there's an excessive amount of problems, more than we can articulate, more than we know how to handle. But praise the Lord, we have one that we can always go to. And that's the Lord Jesus. Amen. That's the Lord Jesus. And he knows how to help us. He knows our needs even before we ask. And yes, praise the Lord. With his help, we're going to go to Psalm 61 and 62. And I just want to add another prayer. I just remember that Deanna had texted me, I believe. And Lord, I just pray for Deanna, Lord. And I just pray that you'd give her safe travels there when she goes to Arizona on Friday. And Lord, I just pray also that those shingles that have been bothering her at the moment would leave her body in the name of Jesus and not be an issue. And oh God, just continue, oh God, to be there. I pray that you'd help her, Lord, in Jesus' precious name, even now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. So praise the Lord. We're going to go here to Psalm 61. It's a Psalm of David, and as we begin here tonight, we see that there's a situation here, and you know, he is crying out to the Lord. Let's look into this here. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He says, verse 1, hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer. So yes, right off the bat, he wants the notice of God. Amen. Oh, yes. He says, from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. And we're going to just pause here. You know, he says from the end of the earth, and I just have a feeling as David was penning these words that, you know, he felt like he was fighting a battle. And I have a feeling that he felt quite alone at this point. And, you know, just you get to the point sometimes where you just feel like, you know, there's no one in the world, no human being, that is, that would understand and know your circumstance, that you could ask, oh my, for help. But oh my, you know, I just get the feeling that yes, you know, he feels this great need. Here it is, this burden on his back. And I believe he's feeling overwhelmed. Oh yes, like it's more than he can deal with, too much for him. And oh yes, that it's affecting him deeply in his mind and in his emotions, in his spirit. So, oh yes, he's saying here, from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. You know, we are so blessed to know that there is one that is higher than us, way higher than us, a one that knows our needs, a one that cares, oh yes, a one that pitied us so much and had so much love and compassion for us that he came to this world as the Son of God, as Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord, to save us, to make a way for us, oh, to redeem us, to restore us, to bring us back to himself. Praise the Lord. So we are very blessed in that manner. Oh, to think that there is such a one that we can call upon. And you know, as I was looking over this material a little bit before I left the house tonight, I just opened up my Bible to a certain place, 1 Kings chapter 19, and I thought, oh my, here's quite an example. A child of God, a man of God who felt overwhelmed. Praise the Lord. Let's just look at this here a minute. 1 Kings chapter 19 here. Oh, praise the Lord. And here it is. Here's the story. It says, and Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done. And we know that it had been a tremendous feat. Elijah had been used of God in such a mighty way that it had turned the hearts of the children of Israel back to God. They were in great confusion due to their leadership and all that had happened, and they no longer knew who was God truly. You know, they didn't know if God was God or Baal was Baal, and you know, they needed somebody to help them. Because yes, the king was Ahab, his wife was Jezebel, and they were nasty. Jezebel had all these prophets of Baal that sat at her table, and were there to help her in all her circumstances that she looked to. And they had brought the children of Israel into great bondage, into heathenism. But God anointed Elijah in such a way that he was able to do something that no human being could do of himself. He was able to call down fire from God. Oh yes, the prophets of Baal tried first. Oh yes, to call on their fire god, to bring down fire to consume the sacrifice that was on their altar. And nothing happened. Nothing at all. Oh my, they cried and they cried for a long space of time. And finally, it was Elijah's turn. And oh, praise the Lord, it's such a neat story how he took the altar that needed great repairs, and he began to repair that altar. Oh yes, you know, it had been broken down because the people were not looking to God. So he took 12 stones and he began to make an altar from those 12 stones, which represented the number of the tribes of the children of Israel. And with those stones, he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench around the altar. And oh yes, and he put wood on that altar, and then he took a bullock that he cut in pieces, he laid it on the wood, and then he instructed those that were helping him to fill 4 barrels with water and to pour it on burnt, on the thing that was to be the burnt sacrifice there, the bullock. And of course, we all know that you use water to put out fire. And here he was doing the exact opposite. He was using water and then going to call down fire from God. And you know, 4 barrels of water. Barrels are pretty big and they hold a lot of water. He poured it on that which was to be the burnt sacrifice and on the wood, and did it a second time, and he did it a third time, and there was so much water that it drenched everything. It ran around the altar, and it filled the trench that he had built around the altar, and oh my, it looked pretty impossible in the eyes of man that fire would come forth from that very drenched sacrifice. But praise the Lord, at the time of the evening sacrifice, Elijah prayed. And my, it doesn't sound like a long, elaborate prayer, but he just simply said, God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Jacob, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. And praise the Lord, God heard that prayer. Oh yes, and the fire of God fell. It consumed the burnt sacrifice. It consumed the wood. It consumed the stones. It consumed the dust. And it licked up the water that was in the trench. Oh, it had to be a miracle by the hand of the Lord, something that no human being could ever imagine happening. And yes, when the people saw it, they fell on their face and they began to cry, the Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God. And oh yes, they realized that indeed God was God. And not Baal. Oh yes, it took out the confusion. And then of course, those prophets of Baal were disposed of. They were taken to the brook Kishon, and there they were slain. And you know, with that, Elijah was able to tell Ahab that he needed to get up and eat and drink, for there's a sound of abundance of rain, because yes, it had not rained for 3.5 years because that the people were engaged in idolatry, and God was using that, oh my, to help them to realize that they were doing it wrong, that, oh my, their thinking was just out of the way, and you know, they were totally disobedient as supposedly the children of Israel. But anyway, God did allow it to rain and so on. But after that, you know, Ahab told Jezebel all that had happened in chapter 19 here of 1 Kings. And, you know, it was mentioned that he had taken those prophets of Baal and he had slain them with the sword. And Jezebel, being the very wicked woman that she was, obviously was very upset, and it seems that she vowed a vow, I would say. She sent a messenger unto Elijah, and she declared, so let the gods do it to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And so she was getting ready to have him killed, of course, to be executed. You know, and she was determined. She was very upset about the progress that Elijah had caused the children of Israel to make in turning back to God. So here she is, this angry, nasty woman with this very direct threat, Elijah. And Elijah had run before. He had run for his life. God had hid him by the brook Cherith, and you know, God had sent him to Zarephath, where a widow woman took care of him for the time of famine. But oh my, you know, now it would seem, after the wonders of God's hand there, sending the fire to consume the sacrifice and the wood and the dust and the water and the stones and everything, every part of it, that, you know, it would be a time of great rejoicing. But instead, he hears this news that Jezebel is after him, and she's made this direct threat that, you know, if I don't get that man by this time tomorrow, then, you know, there's nothing more that I'm, you know, more determined to do. So Elijah heard of this. And it tells us in the 19th chapter, 1 Kings, verse 3, and when he saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. And it tells us in verse 4, but he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die, and said, it is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. And so here we see Elijah, after a great, amazing victory, I mean phenomenal, beyond, oh my, what you could even imagine, in that, you know, he had been used so greatly of God, that he turned the hearts of the children of Israel back to God. But now here he is, he's discouraged. So discouraged that he leaves his servant behind in Beersheba and goes on a day's journey into the wilderness, sits under a juniper tree, and then he just asks God, please let me die, in so many words, because it's enough. It's enough, Lord. You know, I've done enough. I've gone through enough. You know, I suppose he's thinking, you know, I'm just so sick of running, God. And, you know, it's enough, Lord. Just, you know, take my life, for I'm not better than my fathers, you know. And so he lay himself down and he slept. He slept under that juniper tree. And I guess, you know, he requested that he would die. And thought maybe, you know, Lord would bury him there. So anyway, that was not to be, because God had other plans. And oh, praise the Lord, you know, he lay and slept under that juniper tree. And it tells in verse 5, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. Oh my, food, sustenance. And it tells us, and he did eat and drink and laid himself down. And oh, wow, that's wonderful. Yeah, got some food to go on, some nourishment. And yet, you know, I'm just going to lay back down. You know, I just, you know, this wonderful meal all prepared, all this and that. But, you know, still discouraged, I would say. You know, still thinking he wanted to die. But God wasn't through with him. And it tells us, and the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you, for thee. Oh, yes, and you know, God wasn't going to honor that request. He wasn't that he was going to allow Elijah not to, you know, just fall asleep and die. No, no, no. No, there's more that God had ordained that he would do. And so he arose, and he did eat, and he did drink, and he went in the strength of that meal 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the Mount of God. You know, I'm told it's about 200 miles away. Indeed, it was a long journey, and here's another miracle, that God allowed that food that the angel had prepared for him to sustain him for 40 days and 40 nights until he got to the Mount of God, unto Horeb. And so he arrives there. Mount Sinai is another word for Mount Horeb. And so he arrives there, and he's thither under a cave, we're told in verse 9, and he lodged there. And, you know, I don't know if it was a few days or he just arrived, not so sure, but it says, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? And here we have Elijah's reply, and he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets of the sword. And I, even I, only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And so you can sense the discouragement that Elijah was still in, even after the miracles, after God sustaining him and taking him to Mount Horeb, you know, 40 days and 40 nights journey. And here he is, he's still discouraged, and you know, he still feels overwhelmed, I would say, here at this moment. But like I've said, God has more for him to do. And he's told in verse 11, and he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake, and after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire, and after the fire, a still small voice. Oh, it's an amazing thing, you know, sometimes there's these big demonstrations and so on, and even people that profess to know the Lord and, you know, profess miracles and who knows what all, and, you know, they might make a lot of noise. Oh, my, they might be seen by many, but, you know, that's to no avail if God is not in it. No, we might be doing just a little. But oh, so very precious, if even our very little God can use, that God is in it. You know, it makes all the difference in the world. You know, we want to be in the will of God. We want to be directed by him. We want to be doing what he has planned for us to do. Amen. So here it is, you know, God speaking to Elijah in a still, small voice. And Elijah heard it. Tells us in verse 13, and it was so when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, what doest thou here, Elijah? And you know, he still got the same story. Verse 14. And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. Oh, yes, he was discouraged. Oh, he's repeating his story, and you know that loneliness, you know, he feels like he's the only one left. And I kind of think the psalmist in Psalm 61 kind of had gone through some of those battles a little differently, but you know that feeling, because, yeah, we're all human, and you know, we all fight battles. It can be very hard, you know. Elijah just feeling like it was over, that his work was done, and Lord, let me rest in all of that, and so on. But his work wasn't not yet done, and God began to give him the plan. Plans really that he had for him, oh yes, to go forth and do. The Lord said unto him, go, return on the way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And Jehu the son of Nimshi shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. And it shall come to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escapeth the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. And then words of encouragement, verse 18, yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him. Oh, praise the Lord, words of encouragement. Yes, and oh, God does reserve a people. He does have a remnant. And praise the Lord, we may feel like, oh, we are so alone at times, that perhaps we're the only one, maybe the only one in a town, maybe the only one in a family that serves the Lord. But, oh my, the Lord knows them that are his. And despite what we might notice or feel in our hearts, God has a people. And yes, he told Elijah, yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, it's a beautiful thing. God has a people, and despite what we might feel at times, he knows how to keep us too. He knows when we need encouragement. In fact, I'd like to just go to a certain portion of scripture in 2 Corinthians here for a moment. When Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles, was also very discouraged. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, it happens. It does happen. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Praise the Lord. We're going to start with the verse that I left off with last week, but let's just go there for this reference here tonight. Praise the Lord. Verse 1 tells us, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. And oh, yes. You know, we have something to stand on. Oh, yes, you know, we're not alone. We know our God is with us. And he has left us wonderful, precious promises that we can claim, that we can stand on. Praise the Lord. We have these promises if we are faithful, if we come out from among them. Oh, yes, and be that separate people. If we touch not the unclean, if we touch not the unclean thing, that God will receive us. And that he will be a father unto us. And we, therefore, are his sons and daughters. Which is so beautiful, so, oh, just terrific. It's just so beyond what we could ever expect, that one so holy, one so mighty would adopt us into his kingdom and make us his sons and his daughters. Praise the Lord. So yes, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh. Oh my, let's not allow sin to reign in our mortal bodies. Let's make sure that we give it over to the Lord and that it's not a part of us. Amen. Perfecting holiness in the fear of God. And all that fear of God, that's quite a consideration here too. It's that fear of God that brings us to the Lord. And you know, we never get to first base if we do not have that respect for God that is so definitely needed. Amen. That fear of God, where we, yes, know that he is God, and yes, that he has authority, and oh, yes, that we need to be subject to him. Amen. Amen. We need to perfect that separation, that spirit of holiness. Yes, because God does not want us connected to the world. He bought us. He reconciled us to himself. And yes, we now, oh yes, have been bought with a great price. And we need to glorify God in our body, in our spirits, which are God's. Amen. Praise the Lord. So yes, perfecting holiness in the fear of God, where we come out from among them to be separate, to be his own chosen people. So Paul is continuing here in this chapter here to the church at Corinth. Verse 2 tells us, "Receive us. We have wronged no man. We have corrupted no man. We have defrauded no man." Yes, you know, we can say with, you know, clarity, with truth, that, you know, they had been an example. And they hadn't corrupted anybody. They hadn't wronged anybody. They hadn't defrauded anybody. They hadn't taken anything from others through fraud, you know, that it would cause questions. No, he had lived in purity as a good example before the believers. So he goes on, "I speak not this to condemn you, for I have said before that ye are in our hearts to die and live with you." And yes, we studied, you know, the epistles to the church at Thessalonica and realized just how Paul's heart was toward those people and how desirous he was that they would grow in the knowledge of God, in the ways of God, in the truth of God. Amen. To be that people that they are called out to be. And yes, I believe he had that same love for this church at Corinth. And of course, in that first letter to the church at Corinth, he had to do some correcting. Yeah, because there were some problems in that body of believers that needed, you know, somebody to say, hey, you gotta, you know, amend your ways here. You gotta make some changes. And, you know, sometimes we do need a voice of correction to talk to us. And so he says, "Great is my boldness of speech toward you. Great is my glorying of you. I am filled with comfort. I am exceeding joyful in all our tribulation." Oh, praise the Lord. Paul went through tribulations. And yes, we've read the accounts of some of the things he suffered. And oh, yes, you know, he had a right to be bold before this congregation of people that, you know, he had brought the gospel to. And yes, his desire was that he could speak well of them and that he could be filled with comfort knowing that they were doing well spiritually. And I'll tell you what, that means a lot. It's very hard to hear that somebody that you have worked with in the past is no longer walking in the way, and they have fallen away, and you know their lives are not in accord with God's word. That's not good news. So here he's talking about some things in verse 5 that had caused him much restlessness in his spirit. He says, "For when we were come into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, But we were troubled on every side. Without were fightings. Within were fears. And to me, this sounds like, my, wow, what a battle, what trouble, you know. And sometimes it hits us really heavy, you know. It just seems like no matter where we look, no matter who we talk to, you know, no matter what's going on, it's trouble, it's trouble, it's trouble. It's on every side, it's everywhere, you know. It can seem like that at times. But here it is. He and those that were with him came into Macedonia, and you know, they didn't have rest in their spirit. It just felt like, you know, everything was off, and there was trouble on every side. And you know, inside, internally, you know, they were fighting fears, and without, you know, there were all kinds of tumults and fightings going on outside. But praise the Lord, you know, despite this restlessness and this overwhelmingness, I would say, God comforted him. It says in verse 6, nevertheless God then comforted those that are cast down, comforted us by the coming of Titus. And not by his coming only, but by the consolation wherewith he was comforted in you when he told us your earnest desire, your mourning, your fervent mind toward me, so that I rejoice the more. For though I made you sorry with a letter, I do not repent. Though I did repent, for I perceive that the same epistle hath made you sorry, though it were but for a season. Now I rejoice, not that you were made sorry, but that ye sorrow to repentance. For ye were made sorry after a godly manner, that ye might receive damage by us in nothing. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. For behold, this selfsame thing that ye sorrowed after a godly sort. And he's talking about the spirit of repentance that had come over them when they realized, you know, that, you know, they had been so wrong, that they were embracing things and people that, you know, should never have been embraced. And, you know, perhaps it wasn't ignorance, but, you know, or maybe it was partly, you know, lukewarmness or whatever, when they just became a little less concerned with their walk with the Lord. Whatever, you know, there was a conflict, there was a problem, there was something that needed to be corrected. And thank God when they got that letter from Brother Paul, oh, praise the Lord, it worked godly sorrow within them, which worked repentance to salvation in their hearts. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. A godly sorrow, all for their own eternal benefit. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So he says in verse 11, for behold, this selfsame thing that you sorrowed after a godly sort, what carefulness it wrought in you. Yea, what clearing of yourselves. Yea, what indignation, yea, what fear, yea, what vehement desire, yea, what zeal, yea, what revenge. In all things ye have approved yourselves to be clear in this matter. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. So he goes on. Wherefore, though I wrote unto you, I did it not for his cause that had done the wrong, nor for his cause that had suffered wrong, but that our care for you in the sight of God might appear unto you. Therefore we were comforted in your comfort, yea, and exceedingly the more joyed we for the joy of Titus, because his spirit was refreshed by you all. For if I have boasted anything to him of you, I am not ashamed. But as we spake all things to you in truth, even so our boasting which I made before Titus is found a truth, and his inward affection is more abundant toward you, whilst he remembered the obedience of you all, how with fear and trembling you received him. I rejoice, therefore, that I have confidence in you in all things. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, that was a great victory. Oh, yes, a battle that had been fought, that had been won. Praise the Lord by the power of God, the authority that God put in Paul so that, oh, yes, he could do that work of correction. And praise the Lord, beautiful thing when people are willing to submit and turn their hearts over and get right. It's a beautiful thing. And oh yes, he had boasted of them. He'd been, you know, proud of them in a spiritual sense. And now he didn't have to be ashamed of that boasting that he had made before to Titus. But praise the Lord, it was now found of a truth. Praise the Lord. And Titus too, oh, also rejoiced because, oh, he saw the obedience that was in them, that with fear and trembling that they had received him. Praise the Lord. Oh, that was a beautiful thing. But, you know, you see in that chapter 7 here in 2 Corinthians, that Paul, you know, he was struggling, you know, he was overwhelmed, you know, he was concerned about these people and all the other goings on, and there were those wrestlings in his heart. Oh yes, we all are human, and sometimes we get hit pretty hard. But praise the Lord. Oh, the Lord knows how to give us strength. He knows how to give us encouragement. He knows we need a letter from somebody. Or maybe, you know, just somebody to pat us on the back a little bit and encourage our spirits. You know, that can do a great deal of good. Oh my, somebody just, help us to realize that our work, our efforts are not in vain. All these things that, you know, we sometimes struggle with. And here, as I now go back to Psalm 61, I believe, yes, the psalmist, who is David, he knew what it was like to go through struggles. And so here he's saying, oh, yes, again, as we look to this Psalm 61, hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer. Oh, yes, give it heed. Please pay attention, God. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. Oh, yes, I feel alone. I feel abandoned. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Oh, you know, such beautiful words here, because we have one that we can turn to. One, oh, yes, that is called the rock. Oh yes, because he is stable. He is firm. He doesn't change with the wind. You know, he's not one way one moment and then completely different the next. But what he has declared, he still means, praise the Lord. Yes, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And praise the Lord, yes, therefore we have a rock that we can stand on. Oh yes, we know his promises therefore are yea and amen. Yes, because God does not alter. He does not change. What he has declared, he surely does mean. Amen. How beautiful that was in Matthew 16 when Simon Peter answered Jesus to the question, but whom say ye that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And oh yes, Jesus answered and said unto Simon Peter, he said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And praise the Lord, oh, that foundation stone that we all must stand on. You're going to have a walk with the Lord. You have to be built on the rock, Christ Jesus. You have to dig deep so that, oh my, you will not falter. You will not shake when the winds, the trials, oh, the affairs of this world come upon you, and oh, things begin to be iffy, things begin to shake, questions develop, and oh my, all at once you're not so sure. But oh, yes, we can look to God. We can look to our Savior, Jesus Christ. We can look to his words and know that his words are yea and amen. Amen, that it is impossible for God to lie. Amen, praise the Lord. And it was revealed to Simon Peter that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God. In other words, he was the Messiah. He was the anointed one. The word Christ means the anointed one. And yes, he was a son of the living God. And praise the Lord, Jesus said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." And then he continued, "And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Praise the Lord. Oh, yes. The church of the living God is built upon the revelation that Simon Peter had, that Jesus indeed is the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's the whole foundation of the kingdom of God. Yes, that Jesus Christ came into the world, and yes, he was the Christ. He was the Messiah. He was the one that was to come. He was that prophet that, oh yes, Moses spoke of. Praise the Lord. Oh yes, he could say that. He could verify it. And yes, the gospel, the word of God is established upon that premise, upon that foundation, upon that rock. And oh yes, that is our foundation. Therefore, we can stand when the floods come, when the rains come. Oh yes, and the floods, therefore, and even the winds blow and they beat upon our person, upon our house. Oh my, if we're founded upon the rock Christ Jesus, we can stand through the trials, the tests of this world. Praise the Lord, because that's our foundation. Oh, praise the Lord. And yes, Jesus said, oh yes, in that example there in Matthew 7, "And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock." Yes, that man, that individual, oh, those of us who have built our life upon the rock, Christ Jesus, when that's our foundation. Yes, Jesus said, "And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, they will be likened unto that individual that was founded upon the rock." Praise the Lord. But to the contrary, if we have heard the sayings of Jesus and we have not done them, then we are likened unto that foolish man which did not build his life or his house upon that foundation, Christ Jesus. Instead, it was built upon the sand, something that shifts and moves and shakes and quakes, and you know, there's no solidity to it. Oh, yes. "And when the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house and it fell, great was the fall of it." Yes, because it was not built upon the foundation of Jesus Christ, the truth of his word. And oh, we are so blessed that we can look to Jesus. Oh yes, we can look to his word, and we can live accordingly. We can build our lives according to the words of life that are declared in the scripture. Praise the Lord. Amen. So yes, the psalmist was saying in Psalm 61, "Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy." Oh, praise the Lord. Yes. If we're built upon that rock, then oh yes, he can take us through the tests and the trials of this life. And yes, the psalmist David is declaring, "For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy." And you know, as I was reading this, I couldn't help but think of a proverb. Proverbs 18:10, it's declared in that verse, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. Praise the Lord. So what is our strong tower? Oh, yes, that we have built upon. Oh, that foundation. Oh, my, it's the name of the Lord. It's Jesus, praise the Lord, that strong tower that the righteous runneth into it and is safe. Praise the Lord. Yes, we can call upon the Lord Jesus. And I believe if we live for him very long at all, we know what it's like to call upon that name. Oh my, and the amazing thing of it, you know, just that name, at times, that may be all that we can do is say, Jesus, Jesus. And praise the Lord, that's our strong tower. His name, that's our strong tower. That's our refuge. Oh, that's where we run. Praise the Lord. That's how we become safe. Oh, yes, through the authority that is in the name. And praise the Lord for the blood that he shed. Oh, yes. So that name has power. Oh, yes, that it is that name that is above every name. It is that name by which every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Yes, that name. Oh, yes. We go down in the water in that name. Oh, yes, calling upon the name of the Lord, taking that name upon ourselves. Oh, yes, so that we are built upon the rock, so we have access to that precious name. Praise the Lord, that name that is a strong tower. Praise the Lord from the enemy that we can run into. Oh, yes, and be safe. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes, I remember times when, oh my, for example, when my oldest daughter was a young little girl, just a toddler, and all at once we were all standing on the front porch, and all at once she began to tumble down those cement steps. And I just called on the name of Jesus. You know, it was such a marvel because there she was. It was like her head didn't even touch the bottom. It didn't even seem to touch the sidewalk that was beneath the steps. It was like the angels of the Lord caught her, and she wasn't hurt at all. But oh my, praise the Lord, how I have that name to call upon, that name, Jesus. Praise the Lord, and oh, he intervened. My child was not hurt. Praise the Lord. Oh yes, the psalmist could say, for thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. Praise the Lord, I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. And I do believe David, he saw beyond this world. You know, when he said tabernacle, oh my, you know, he's talking about something eternal here. Tabernacle being a dwelling place, and oh my, he's saying forever. You know, oh, sheltered in our God, oh, that strong tower that, yes, we rest in, praise the Lord, that saving name. Oh, praise the Lord, I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings. Oh, yes, a covert being a place of shelter also. And oh, he knew his God, and he knew he could trust. Even in the covert, in the shelter of the wings, so to speak, of our God. Oh, praise the Lord, Selah. Oh, it's such a beautiful thing. You know, I think how Jesus said in Matthew, the 11th chapter, when he bid us to come unto him, he said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Oh yes, those cares, those trials, those heavy things upon our back, you know, that are dragging us down and discouraging us and hindering us. Oh, Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Oh, trying to do things our own way, all by ourselves. Oh my, you know, it's not gonna work, is it? We don't have that kind of strength. We don't have that kind of foundation in ourselves. We don't have that kind of stability. But Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Oh yes, that means loaded with a heavy burden. Yeah, it's on your back and, oh, you know, and just, causing you to be bent over. And he said, I will give you rest. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Praise the Lord. Oh yes, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Oh, praise the Lord, the rest that we find in Jesus Christ, the rest of the Holy Ghost, praise the Lord, that, oh, ministers to our souls, praise the Lord. Jesus said, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Oh, praise the Lord. We can cast our cares upon the Lord, for he careth for us. Praise the Lord. We can bring those burdens to the Lord Jesus. We don't have to carry them. My, we can give them to Jesus. You know, we may not know how to think. We may not understand. It may be confusing and perplexing and heavy and burdensome. It may be painful. Oh my, we know we may feel like we're stumbling and getting nowhere, but praise the Lord, we can give it to Jesus. He makes it easy. Yes, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. It's in his word. He teaches us. He instructs us. He gives the Holy Ghost so we can be led into all truth, so we can know the truth and be set free. Praise the Lord, free from the sin of this world, free to follow Jesus. Amen. Free to know that despite the heaviness, the burdens of this world, oh, we have a refuge. Oh, we have one that cares, that will take all our concerns, all our worries, all our fears and all our anxieties. Oh my, when we give them to him, that he will take them, amen, and bear them for us. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Oh, praise the Lord, that rest for our souls. You can travel the world over to try to find that kind of rest. It would never be found except in the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, he alone is our Savior. He alone is our salvation. He alone can bring forth that rest that we need for our souls. Amen. Amen. And he bids us. He invites us to come unto himself. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Oh, praise the Lord. It's so beautiful. Amen. Praise the Lord. And David was speaking of it in part here as, you know, he was penning this 61st Psalm. And then he goes on, verse 5, and, you know, well, let's see, just go to 4 first. He says, I will abide in the tabernacle forever, in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings, Selah. You know, you could ask the question, where can I go? And thank the Lord, David knew he could bring it to God. He could live in the tabernacle of the Lord, the dwelling place of the Lord. No, yes, not just for this short life, but forever. For he goes on, and I can see faith, oh, as he begins to acknowledge these aspects, these attributes of God. For thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. Oh, yes, I already said that, you know, if you're going to get to first base at all with God, you first have to fear the Lord. We know that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, as it tells us in Proverbs 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. In Psalms 111 also brings out these details. Psalms 111 verse 10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever." Praise the Lord, that fear of the Lord will bring us to Christ. Amen. You know, if we have that respect for his word and know that judgment is pending if we give not heed, oh my, you know, that's wisdom. That's wisdom to turn to the Lord, to realize that we need to get right with God before this little short life ends, that we better fear him, that we better give heed, that we better repent, we better turn our lives over to him. That's the beginning of wisdom. And he said, a good understanding have all they that do his commandments. It just can't come in the ears and go out. It has to be done. His praise endureth forever. Oh, praise the Lord. And yet David continued to express faith. He said, thou wilt prolong the king's life in his years as many generations. And oh, I believe he was seeing, oh, what it was meaning, the sure mercies of David. Oh, yes, that his life was going to be extended through the generations in that sense, that it was going to continue through the generations until his seed would come and bring forth the Savior, Jesus Christ, oh, the one that David looked forward to. Praise the Lord. And oh, he is declaring here in verse 6, thou wilt prolong the king's life and his years as many generations. Oh, praise the Lord. He was talking beyond his earthly years. But oh, yes, his seed would continue. It would continue through the generations until the Savior was born, Jesus Christ. And you know what? Beyond that, Jesus Christ has a seed. He has a people. He has sons and daughters. Oh, yes, his redeemed people, his people that he has reconciled to himself, you and I, praise the Lord, that have been bought with a great price. Praise the Lord. We too are the seed. Oh, yes, it has been proclaimed in the scripture and prophesied of. Oh, praise the Lord. And he says, he shall abide before God forever. Prepare mercy and truth, which may preserve him. Oh, praise the Lord. In other words, we can stand on the promises of God. Oh, praise the Lord, because yes, they are built upon the rock, Christ Jesus. And oh, he ends in verse 8 by saying, so will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. Oh, yes, that which we have put before the Lord, you know, those proclamations that we've declared in our hearts that we're going to do for the Lord, for his cause, you know, that resolution that we're going to walk with him, walk for him, that we're going to be that light in this world, that we're going to stand up and be accounted for the kingdom of God's sake. And yes, David was, he was deep into his walk with the Lord, I feel. And oh, he could sing because, oh yes, he had turned his situation over to the living God. Oh yes, he realized that he needed his strength, God's strength, for every situation and for every day. Praise the Lord. And because, oh, his life was built on that rock, on those promises, on that premise, praise the Lord, he could sing unto the name of the Lord forever. Oh, how we can praise the Lord. Oh, yes, we have something, oh, to declare. We have something to share. We can praise the name of the Lord forever. Likewise, praise the Lord, that I may daily perform my vows, oh, with his strength and by his power, by his enablement. Oh, yes, we can go forth and live in victory in this world. We can overcome the things of the flesh. We can stand on the rock, Christ Jesus, praise the Lord, and go forward and not live in that realm that the devil would cause us to live in if we listen to him. But praise the Lord, we stand on the promises of God. And oh yes, we know that he's with us and that he is able to keep that which we have committed unto him against that day. Praise the Lord, we can rest in that. Yes, we can bring our burdens to the Lord and know, yes, that he cares and that he will take them, that he will give us his strength, and that he will honor his promises. Oh, praise the Lord, yes, that we may daily perform our vows. Oh, praise the Lord, what a beautiful thing. Oh, yes, our heart may sometimes feel overwhelmed, but oh, thank God we can stand on the promises of God. We can be led to that rock that is higher than ourselves. Oh, my, oh, that will stand true and faithful throughout all generations. Praise the Lord, the rock Christ Jesus. Amen. Are you built upon that rock? Are you standing on that rock? Oh, praise the Lord, there is no other rock that we can stand on but Jesus Christ. And thank God he has made himself known to us. Oh, yes, and we can rest in him. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. We thank you, Lord. Oh God, we can be overwhelmed at times, but oh, let us always come to you, Lord, and bring our burdens before thy feet. Lay them before thee, Lord. Oh God, for you care, and oh Lord, you bid us to come to you. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Praise your name. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Great victory in Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. In closing, we're going to open our melodies of praise hymnals to number 18 and sing The Solid Rock, number 18.
Is
God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. God bless you all. Be safe. Have a wonderful night. Praise the Lord. Thank you.
Thank you.